James, talk some more.
I'm talking about stuff all of the time, and nobody can stop me no matter what they say. Ha 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 ha.
You have a bit of a, maybe not, I don't know. It sounds a little flangy.
Phalanges.
Yeah.
That's fingers.
Yeah.
You sound like fingers, James.
Yeah, your voice is a little fingery.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out if, like, you always sound that way. If it's just why you're...
I'm always a little bit flangy.
Hey, man, look what I did. If you did it, would you do it like this?
That's not how I do it.
I've been working myself to the bone, trying to pay off my student loans.
That's not how I do it.
I like carrots in my stew and a sprig of parsley. How about you?
That's not how I do it.
Break it down.
Would you do it in a jacket? Would you do it in a hat?
Would you do it like this?
I'd do it like that. That's not how I do it.
Hello.
And welcome to That's Not How I Do It, the podcast where we tackle the most pressing issues in the world, fight everyone wrong, and come up with a solution so crazy they just might work. I'm James Miser.
I'm Sam Chidley.
I'm Jared Singh.
And you are tuned into That's Not How I do it.
Yeah.
That's just the way, I would not do it.
I'm just wondering if James can keep up this level of energy for the whole episode.
No, I can't. It's already has dissipated.
Do you see him just like deflating like a balloon in front of your eyes?
Yeah.
I would have loved it if James could do the whole episode talking with this kind of voice. So guys, what are we talking about today?
Just the greatest thing ever.
Shut up, Dad.
To all those father figures in your lives.
Yeah.
We're telling them to shut up.
Yeah.
Tell them to shut up, Dad.
Shut up. And this is how you could do it better.
Talking about dads.
Talking about dads.
Yeah.
With apologies to all of our dads who are perfect, we're going to talk about how dads could be way better.
Yeah, my dad's great.
My dad's also great.
Yeah, my dad's an albino.
If other dads...
Yeah, Jared's dad is literally an albino.
Yeah. I don't know why you guys are laughing about it.
It's funny. He didn't even know he was an albino until like this year. So
he spent like 60 years of his life knowing he's an albino.
Yeah.
Not knowing he's an albino.
Yeah, wait, remind me again how he found out?
His eye doctor looked at his eye and it was like partially translucent. And he's like, "You're an albino." Yeah. And I was like, what?
Got through most of his life just thinking he was really, really pale.
Yeah.
Does that like change anything for him? I mean, like,
How do you feel now that you know that your dad is an albino?
Oh my God. Yeah. I just wish I knew it earlier when I like live. You know, was growing up and living at home, so I could have made fun of him, I guess.
Wait. So is this something that you wanted to change about dads?
I'm a little confused. They're all albinos from now on. Every dad's an albino. Yeah.
I think it's great if every dad finds out something like shocking about themselves late in their lives.
But maybe something like that's like nice.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Something terrible. I think something surprising. Yeah, not terrible, but it doesn't have to be like a bonus. It doesn't have to be good necessarily. Like the albino thing is just like funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's not like anything you do about that, you know, it doesn't really like change your day-to-day life.
No, it just puts your whole life into a different perspective.
You're just like, oh.
I got a question for you guys about dads.
Mm.
One of the most typical things that dads do is play catch with their sons.
Uh-huh.
Did you guys ever play catch with your dad?
I think so.
I don't think I ever did.
It wasn't like, I don't think it was like a regular thing we did, but...
like with the baseball specifically? Or the football?
Oh, and any sort of ball.
Yeah, I did.
I don't think I did. I have a distinct memory.
I don't think so either.
Of my uncle gifting me and my brother, older brother, baseball mitts. And we played, and he played catch with us, but he threw the ball too hard towards me. And I just had to like dive out of the way of it because it was like a terrible throw.
I have a very similar memory, actually, of an uncle playing catch with me, and then throwing a ball and it hitting me in the head.
Oh, no. Oh.
Jeez. Maybe this is why your dads didn't play catch with you that much.
They were like, these kids are terrible at catching things.
Because I've heard, my uncle was like, you're supposed to use the mitt.
Like, I guess I wish that there were other more iconic
dad things,
dad stuff besides... Yeah, because it's like, whatever. Like, not every kid wants to play catch.
I think fishing is an iconic dad thing.
I definitely did that with my dad. I did a lot of fishing with my dad.
Yeah, I did a lot of fishing with my dad,
I think I have
too.
The most iconic first fishing story of all time.
Uh-huh. Okay.
My dad was...
The most iconic of all time?
of all time, yeah.
All those other stories are based on the story.
Yeah.
Went to a lake. It's called Kangaroo Lake. Nice, secluded lake. Pretty big, a lot of fish. My dad shows me how to cast the line. You know, so, and then he's like, all right, your turn. So he gives me the pull and he steps back and I pull my arm back, getting ready to cast, but I have my thumb down on the, whatever that button's called that lets the line out. So the line goes backwards. The hook catches onto my dad's ear. I don't realize it. And I try to cast the line forward and I just hear a loud scream of agony.
Oh no.
It's like caught my dad's ear in the hook and tried to cast it out to sea or to the lake.
And did you guys go fishing again after this or?
That's the only fishing memory I have with my dad.
Yeah.
Your other brothers and your sister went fishing many other times after that.
I've got a bad catch, playing catch memory. A bad fishing memory. But they're not bad, but it's like, it didn't quite go in the idyllic sense.
I guess what I'm getting is like,
this doesn't seem... Norman Rockwell.
This doesn't really seem to be like a dad problem so much as like a Jared problem. But yeah, I just wish that there was... Like, I wish that like the... Like these like iconic ideas that we have of like father son activities or father daughter activities.
There needs to be better.
I just
that
like they
more
were
diversity.
Bit,
in
yeah,
that.
I just that they were wish that, that those would be opened up a bit beyond just like these like couple of things that we think
of. Like first time cleaning the dishes with dad.
Sure.
Hey, son. After doing with your homework, why don't we head to the kitchen and clean some dishes?
Yeah, just you and me, pal.
Oh, geez, can't we do it before I do my homework, Dad?
No.
No.
You're grounded.
If you weren't thinking about doing the dishes, well, were you thinking something more fun?
I guess just like sort of things that...
laser tag. That's what Sam was thinking of.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, he was thinking of laser tag. He put his iPhone up and said, I'm thinking of laser tag.
I mean, laser tag would have been cool, but... I came to laser tag much later in life, so it would have been nice to have a little bit more of that when I was a kid.
Like ATVing,
I guess it's just the thing is just like so.
Snorkeling.
There's like all this stuff. Not snorkeling for me, but what I'm trying to get at is that like there's like things that like kids enjoy besides like throwing a ball, or fishing or whatever. Why can't all those other things like be like iconic ideas?
It's like, all right, son, you're 8. It's now time to go skydiving.
To play, or play GoldenEye.
Right, yeah. Like, I met a guy who had a kid, and, like, the way that he bonded with his son, who was, like middle school age, was he'd, like, play video games with him.
Uh-huh.
And I don't see, like, why that's, like, less of a iconic idea than, like, playing catch.
I don't know. To that point, like, my dad and I never played video games together, but one thing we definitely bonded over was going to the movies.
Yeah,
we loved going to the movies. Yeah. You know, that's like something that we just always did, and I have really great memories of that. And like, I think that's just as special as like throwing a ball around. Probably more special because it's not as stupid.
So
actually liked it. That's the thing.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. Like, it should be something that the kid likes. You know,
I think it should be. I think playing catch with your kids should be banned.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Out with the old, in with the new.
Yeah, I would be holding with the new.
I think maybe something we're running into here is that something we want to change about dads isn't about the dad themselves, but it's more about like sort of the mythology behind like the American father figure.
Yeah, I think that's it. That's right.
Absolutely.
Right. It's still something like it seems like it's something born out of the 50s, sort of like the post-war,
right.
Like, you know,
right.
probably never really existed.
No.
Even in the 50s.
So yes, let's rework the mythology of the American father figure.
So all right, so what does the new myth of the father figure in America look like?
That he replaces the doctor at birth.
Wait, what?
We gotta start at birth for the mythology. Okay. And the doctor doesn't deliver the baby, the dad always delivers the baby.
What?
Wait, why?
What?
This is just the myth, though, right? We're still going to doctors and stuff. It's just like...
some people will believe the myth so much that they will try to do every part of it.
Oh, that sounds unhealthy.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't think I'd want the fathers delivering the babies. They don't seem qualified.
They're not.
How about the doctor is supervising the dad of delivering of the baby?
He's like, don't do it that way.
Or the doctor has like an earpiece. Just, you know, like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible.
Uh-huh.
Has Simon Pegg in his ear.
Right.
Uh-huh.
It's the same thing, except it's a dad delivering
a child.
Or the
doctor's a drone, the child. And the dad's controlling the drone.
What? That's a terrible idea. Drones are so hard to control anyway. Like, and a dad won't know what he's doing. Why are we getting rid of doctors?
Okay, maybe it was a bad start to the new mythology.
You know what? Actually, with the mythology, like one thing that I always liked, and which does not exist, and I would kind of want to reintroduce it, is the whole, like, I want to get rid of the idea of, like, dad in the delivery room with the video camera. I hate that whole idea.
Yeah.
I want to put him back in the waiting room, like, nervous, and, like, with, like, a box of cigars that are, like, it's a girl or it's a boy, and, you like, popping champagne when there's been a delivery and that stuff. Because I don't think that actually happens anywhere.
Right, because it's like...
I like the idea
the mother's, like, in pain, and, like, the baby's, like,
yeah,
crying, and the dad's like, yeah!
Yeah, and handing out cigars.
I want to propose...
Like, we're dying here, or, like, you know, I don't know.
I want to propose a third option, which is that the mother and the father deliver half of a child.
Wait. The doctor sews it together.
Yeah, the doctor joins it together.
Yeah.
That sounds...
What do you guys think about that?
Sounds painful.
I mean, it's a little bit more like...
Child.
It's like half as painful for women.
For the women, yeah.
But the child is sewn together. That's a little gruesome.
But it's like kind of like a...
Like a quick seal?
It's kind of like super glue where it's like you have like the two halves and you can just smush them together and then hold them in place for like
15 seconds. Yeah.
30 seconds, yeah. And
don't
then
move
it's just
it.
Like,
don't move it. Don't move them.
Yeah.
So you want... All right. So instead of like women being solely responsible for childbirth, it's like, no, that's like split between men and women.
And is the child's hamburger style or hot dog style? Like which way do you cut it?
I think it's a hot dog style because that's sort of how naturally you could split something in half pretty easily. You know, like...
And it's like left brain, like sometimes comes from the mom, sometimes from the dad, and right brain.
Yeah. And sometimes you get two rights and you're like, I don't know what to do with this.
Yeah. Tragic. It's really tragic when that happens.
If we didn't coordinate this. Well, it's interesting.
Yeah.
And so this is the mythology. This is the new stork delivering the child.
Yeah, this is the new stork.
Oh, wait, so this isn't true? I'm confused. Do men actually give birth to half a baby?
I think they should, but...
I think
I'm
it's
okay
biologically
it being
impossible at this point in time. We need further advancements in genetic
impossible.
Engineering.
I'm torn about this idea. Like, I think it would be great if, like, women didn't have to, carry the burden of childbirth as heavily as they do.
It'd be great for them.
But, like, it's also just, it's kind of like a total reimagining of humanity. So that's a little tough for me to wrap my head around. I think, like, that fathers have biologically less responsibility. I think that does create some problems, like, in terms of society as well. So it'd be interesting to be able to change that. But
what if we change something biologically where a father didn't form an appetite unless he was around his children?
So just, all right, so you're saying, like, after he's had children...
Yeah.
He can only eat when he's around his
kids? Well, he's only hungry, but he... Yeah, so he's never, like he always feels full when he's not around children. And if he's not around his children, he just withers and dies because he doesn't eat. It creates a biological imperative to be
Near your children.
Near your children. Until they go to college.
Yeah, but then what if like your kid needs to go to like summer camp or something like that? Then he's like,
you got to go with them.
Yeah, I guess I'm okay with that.
I don't know. I think you should be able to survive without your children.
Okay, you get video conference and then you get an appetite.
It's an interesting idea of that. I'm only aware that I'm hungry when I'm around my kids. It'd probably be good for my waistline.
Oh. Yeah, probably lose some weight.
I'm definitely lose some weight, especially since I don't have kids right now.
Son, I'm seeing you too often.
The other thing is, like, this is only affecting men who have children, though.
Right.
It's a big the other thing I like about that is it makes it a really big decision for a man to have a child.
Okay. Oh, and it's okay, also, how about men have the milk? Women carry the child, men have the milk.
I mean, fine. Not happy about it, but...
But now there's... It's not as extreme as my initial idea, and it's more biologically possible.
Which extreme idea are you talking about? Are you talking about the drones, or...
the appetite, I'm saying.
Oh, the appetite, okay.
Yeah. It's no longer mother's milk.
I have to admit... and maybe it shouldn't freak me out, but this is kind of freaking me out.
It's freaking me out too. I don't like it.
Well, people be like, have you been hitting the gym or do you just have a kid?
It's really weird. It's a really weird thing to think about.
Well, if it must be, then it must be.
I thought we were just changing stuff, like whether or not you play catch with your kids.
Yeah, things took a turn. But it doesn't, because you're right, it doesn't seem fair that women have, like, the biological burden, not only of carrying the child to birth, right, but then after, they also have to feed the child.
Yeah.
Right.
How about one breast from each partner as milk?
So you're really asymmetrical?
or you just have one nipple right in the center.
It's not a third.
Everybody's
nipple.
Got
it's
one.
Just, you just have one.
Everybody's just got one.
Okay. Cyclops nipple. We're gonna have to change. I guess bathing suits too.
Sorry, dads.
What did you even call a bikini for one large man nipple?
Jeez. And would men still? Would it be more acceptable for men to be shirtless in this instance? Or
I don't think anyone would want to see this.
I don't think men or women would want to be shirtless if they only had one big nipple in the middle of their chest.
I mean, it would be like the new normal, though, so it might be like really sexy. You can't think of it like if it just happened today and it was like it was out of the ordinary. This is just normal now.
Yeah, that's the new normal. Yeah.
Right. Oh, I see. So this is like the way that it always...
Well, it's always been
after
this
a couple
way.
Generations of this change being in effect, at least. Yeah.
Ah. Right, so it wouldn't seem unusual to anyone in this world because this is just the way it is.
Yeah,
they'd be like, "Let me at that nip."
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Well, let's hear an idea from you, Sam. I'm hearing a lot of trepidation, I'd say. But
This was just like not where I thought the conversation was going to go, is all. So it's not. I'm not saying I haven't said no to anything. I just find it all very uncomfortable.
Yeah. It does seem like dads have had it too easy.
I think they have. I think dads have historically had it far too easy.
Yeah, too and, easy dads.
Like, I think it would be good to share some of the burden.
This is our message to our fathers on Father's Day. You had it too easy.
Yeah, you had it way too easy.
I mean, no, so it's like, I mean, like, my dad was always there, but, like, I think that's, like, I don't know. I think a lot of people have had the experience of, like, to me, that's like we're talking about, like, the myth of fatherhood in America, and it seems like we've got this idea of, like, dad goes off to work or just skips out completely or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And then it's like, hey, you want to go to the arcade? You want to go fishing?
The burden of... It's like, yeah, the mom, like, carries, like, the burden of the family, and the dad is either, like, at work, absent, or just doing the fun stuff.
Yeah. I guess we should also acknowledge, we're really, when we're talking about these father activities, we're talking about father and son activities a little bit more than father-daughter.
I am a little bit, but I'm talking about father and children in general. Yeah. I'm not necessarily.
I'm just saying I realize the examples I was coming up with are a little gender weighted.
All right, now you're raising this baby that you've had.
Yeah.
Are we sticking with this idea of like giving men more responsibility in the home?
Yeah.
Okay. So this, you get like a baby that's like shitting and pissing all over the place and, you know, putting itself in danger. What if, well, first of all, I want to talk about like paternity leave. How do you guys feel about that?
Good. Let's do it.
Let's have it.
I think we should have paternity leave. And I think that, both men and women should be responsible for that early stage in development.
Yeah. It should be the same amount of,
I think that, if women have to, carry the baby from 9 months, then the first 9 months after you're born should be the dad's job.
Okay, I like that.
Women should be able to take a load off.
Okay, I like that.
I mean, they can still cuddle with the baby and everything, right?
Of course.
They're allowed, you know, it's not like they're not the baby, but I think the primary responsibility should be on the dad.
Yeah. That sounds good. And, like, yeah, when we're talking about, like, shifting responsibilities around biologically, that seems like a lot more feasible than, like, redoing, like, the, you know, the
reproduction,
like, birthing half of a baby and sewing it together thing. But anyway, that sounds fair, and I think that'd be like really good for dads too, to spend those the majority of that first year bonding with their child.
Right.
Yeah.
And the mom can go back to work.
Or go on vacation.
Yeah, she could do whatever.
She could I think that moms should actually they should have, After they give birth, they should have a month off.
Yeah.
Where they get to go to a resort.
Yeah.
There's like post-mom resort.
Post-mom resort.
Right, because the first thing a mom wants to do is leave the baby as soon as it's out of her body.
That's right. Have a pina colada.
Get this thing out of me. I want my
get a massage. I mean, because if you're a mom, you haven't had anything to drink in like probably... Eight and a half months, probably.
Well, yeah, probably more if it was planned.
You should have some time to cut loose. Get your groove back.
Yeah.
My mom got her groove back. Pina coladas.
There's a lot of heavy news for dads in this episode. All right, so we looked at childbirth. We looked at early infancy. So now we're looking at, like, what, just like regular childhood. This would be the point where you would be throwing the ball and playing catch. So what are we doing instead?
It's all your firsts with dad.
So, like...
high five. First high five.
About first critical analysis of a piece of epic literature.
at what age are you supposed to do that? Like 19?
I don't know.
To that point, though, I'm kind of... when we're talking about, like, firsts...
Yeah.
We sort of stop counting them after...
A certain age.
Yeah. Why stop?
Yeah, you could just have your, like, first time skydiving together.
Yeah.
Or your first time, I don't know.
Chopping down a tree.
First time, on an acid trip.
Yeah, because you always see, like, okay, it's like baby's first steps, first words.
Yeah.
First bike ride.
Bike ride. Maybe some sort of, like, drawing or painting you did. Of your family.
Right.
These are all very young things.
Yeah.
It does get harder as you get older because you've done more things.
You just need to keep up in the...
You need to up it. Yeah, you up it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you crawl,
like father and
you walk,
son, first
you run,
bank heist.
You ride a bike. You drive a car, but then you gotta go, like, you know...
Steal a car.
Yeah.
First GTA, first bank heist.
Or you could just, like, find, like, weird different first things to do. It doesn't even have to be, like... upping things, it could just be more obscure.
Okay. Yeah, it doesn't have to necessarily escalate, just as long as...
Like every year,
first father and son
something new.
Truffle hunting.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
You get your pig, your truffle pig.
Ah.
You raise it up.
I would go truffle hunting.
And then you go truffle hunting with your dad.
Yeah.
That sounds fun to me.
It could be fun. I don't know.
Or it could be bad. I don't know. Like,
the point is you won't know until you do it.
You won't know until you do it, and... when you do it, you're going to be spending time with your pops. And then imagine, you know, like, let's say you and your dad are, like, doing this all the way up until, you know, maybe, like, 60 years of firsts, and they're all collected in the giant book.
Yeah.
The book of firsts.
The book of firsts.
Yeah.
And then by then, you've probably already started your firsts with your son or daughter.
So you have multiple book of firsts going on. And you can't repeat.
Yeah, you could have like five different books of firsts going on depending on how many kids and dads you have.
Yeah, that's true.
You might have to get like an assistant to help you.
your own shelf. Gotta put a
keep
a
track.
Shelf for all these books.
Yeah.
Kind of like an archive.
I like this because it's it really seems like you're spending a lot more time with your dad or dads.
Why aren't you trying a lot of new stuff?
And yeah, trying a lot of new stuff.
Yeah, it's good in both ways. Like, it's kind of guaranteeing that you have to keep doing stuff with your father or your child.
When I have kids, I'm going to definitely do a book of firsts.
It's pretty good.
I also like this idea that it's more individual, I guess. Right? It's not like playing catch and going fishing.
I mean, you might have that just as like one or two pages in your 10,000 page
book.
It's
not like there's like these dedicated iconic activities. It's that what's important is like doing new things with your dad.
Okay, that's cool. I like the book of firsts. I think that's a really good
book of firsts.
It's a good change for dads.
Oh, I think in this, you know, the age of modern technology, we should also have the moments. I think when you reach the same age that your father was, you get to see all of the pictures that your father was in or took.
Wait, what do you mean? Say that again.
So when you say like when you turn 15,
yeah,
you get access on social media to every single photograph that your father was in or that he took. So like I'm 15, and this was dad at 15, and you're like, oh my god, like,
so
like really dad?
That's interesting. Why do you want that change?
I don't know. I feel like you get a fuller picture of the life your father had, because you. As when you're a kid, you just look at, you know, your dad's old, right? Unless your dad gave birth to you at a young age, I guess. But
I see what you're saying. It's like
you
have this like image of your dad.
It takes a while before you realize that like your dad was, you know,
he was young once. He's a person just like you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I see what you're saying. It would just like put your, you know, like you'd have like a perspective on your father that was a little bit more rounded out.
Yes.
Instead of just being like, I only know him as my dad.
Yeah. It's also a good way for your dad to be embarrassed, which I like. I like. I think it's great when fathers are embarrassed.
Uh huh.
You want to embarrass your dad?
Yeah, not publicly.
Not on like a podcast or something.
Right, exactly. It's just a, you know, it's like a father-child moment. Like, Dad, what were you doing upside down with this keg?
My first keg stand.
I'm trying to think of every photo that I've been in, and seeing if and trying to think if I'd want that for my child to see.
Oh, I definitely have photos I'd rather that nobody ever saw.
Oh yeah, let's talk about those.
There's the one time in Mexico.
Yeah, so that's the thing. It's like I'm not sure if that's. I think there should be some divide.
I can't wait until your kids, Jared, turn like 20.
Uh-huh.
And then they see the video of you eating a punch bowl full of ketchup.
Yeah.
After doing a shot of vodka?
After doing, yeah, a shot of vodka.
Yeah.
I guess my kids would see that too, because I'd be right in that.
In the background.
I'm in that thing as well.
My kids will see that just because I think it's great.
You know what? I was ahead of my time. Now, in this day and age, like stupid things like that are a little bit more popular on them.
Yeah, I mean, that could have been the original, like,
I could have been Jake
Tide Pod. You know, like, if that had come out early in, or, you know, like, at the right moment, then rather than eating Tide Pods, kids could be eating
bowls
gallons
of ketchup.
And healthier, too.
Healthier and more difficult. And the whole house will smell like vinegar. So.
That's true. That did smell really bad for quite a while.
So, but you're saying you want there to be...
So you want your kids to see that?
Like, every year you get access to whatever your dad had done by that age.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would almost rather it be like a list than like a...
Ah, that's interesting.
Than like actual photographic evidence.
It's like you get like, why don't you ask your dad about eating a bowl of ketchup?
Yeah.
You just get like these little tips.
Yeah.
It's actually
I guess there's
Facebook
like some
do.
Stuff that's like I think it's good to have a little bit of division. I don't know. There's stuff that's sort of like maybe you wouldn't want your children to know, or maybe they wouldn't want to know about you, you know?
Yeah, it's bad for both parties.
I'm not sure if I'm on board for this like full disclosure idea. That being said, I see what you're saying about like getting like a fuller perspective of your dad. So I'm wondering if there's like some sort of middle ground.
How about a double lock system? You each have a key, right?
And you have to turn it together.
Yeah. Well, it could be digital, you know, but it's like you see like these lists, you see like the titles of things. Jared's bowl of ketchup. Jared's, I don't know what, trip to Mexico.
Oh, and so then like you as the dad was like, okay, I'm comfortable sharing this with my son at this point.
Yeah, you can.
And you can
turn the key, but maybe your son doesn't, or your daughter doesn't want to see it and never turn it to the key.
Yeah, I guess like, I don't know, if it's only stuff that I've like uploaded into the public sphere already, it's like they don't even, right now they wouldn't even need like the double key thing. They can just like look at it. So
yeah.
Anything that's there, I'm not really, that's not even like a question about like my, whether I'm not comfortable with it, because it's just like, they could just like look it up. But if it was like some like, I don't know, something that I was like, well, I don't even want to post this online.
Yeah, because if it was like Jared's trip to Mexico and that somehow got recorded and was in like in some sort of vault, that to me is creepy on a level that's not really about dads and
right
at all.
Right. Like who recorded it? Who said it was okay to keep it there?
Yeah. Is this a service that I opted into? Right. And at what age did I do that?
I bet, you know, honestly though, I bet in the future it'll be possible to like share things through like a direct mental link.
That's going to be cool.
So it could be not stored in the vault is the dad's brain.
We could just do this podcast by thinking it, and then it'd just be out there.
Yeah, and have the computer nice. Like simulate our voices.
Yeah,
it'll vocalize our thoughts. I wonder if we could record
then
faster.
Then we wouldn't even have to edit.
The computer will edit it for us.
Yeah, or we just release it unedited because we don't feel like editing it.
We're just extra lazy.
Yeah, the mental link thing is cool. And maybe you could like share a memory via your mental link with your child.
Yeah,
I like that. I like that.
But then it seems like something more like I'm giving it to my kid.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is more like that.
Rather than like my kid is like hacking into my brain and
well, you could probably brain hack if
you probably could brain hack if this was a technology.
If you're a good kid, don't brain hack.
Kids, no brain hacking.
Dangerous. But hey, you want to relive my trip to Mexico again?
Yeah,
it's like,
no, thanks,
Dad. It wasn't even cool the first time.
This is like just like our generation's like, this is like the 21st century version of like a slideshow. Like, where your kids are just like, oh god, I don't wanna,
basically
nobody cares, Dad. Is there something we can do about adolescence with their dads? Because like
it's very hard to do anything positive with adolescents.
It is. I guess that's the thing. Is like that's probably the one part of life where it's like father child relationship becomes like really strained. And yep. I just like it'd be nice if that there was like a cleaner way to get through that.
I wonder if it's I don't know that there's anything that you could do for on the side of the kid in that situation. Just because it's like such a.
They're always going to be shitty.
They're just going to be shitty, and it's like it's just a hard time in life.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know that there's, no matter what technology changes we could make, I don't know if that would help it at all.
Let's just ship them off for
probably
2 years.
Make it worse. I don't know. It's hard because I feel like adolescence is a point where kids are changing a lot. There's like big changes in terms of like not just in terms of hormones, but also in terms of. How the kids actually see themselves, you know, less as like kids and more as like their own people, even though they're too shitty to be their own people for real.
Right.
And I think that as a parent, that'd be hard to deal with.
Yeah.
Maybe it's once your kid turns 11, maybe there's some sort of like family therapy or something.
Yeah, therapy, I think that can work for some people. I guess it's just like, I feel like the like dads go through just several stages of being unprepared for things, right? Like they're unprepared like when the child is born, and like they don't really know how to deal with an infant. And so like our solution to that, they have to spend more time with the infant. Like that's got to be their deal. Like maybe they've been leaning very heavily on these like few iconic moments that they share with their children. So it's like, you know what? No, they have to do something different every time, every year.
Yeah.
Like, they're to always search out these like new experiences. And so it's like, I'm just like thinking, all right, so like what's the version of that you can do with like adolescence where you've reached this stage where parents don't really know what the hell to do with their kids. How, like, I just am wondering, is there something we can do to prepare a father for that moment? Like, what if they had to, like, train talking to just terrible people for a while?
Well, you know,
like, get, like, reasoning with people
about,
who are
like,
unreasonable.
Raising a baby? But are I feel like there's not as much literature about raising an adolescent.
Oh, my parents had one.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, I think there.
I read it.
There are some. I mean, that's not like a.
Yeah.
But
it's
I
not
feel,
like there aren't. Books.
I feel like there's not as much like scientific rigor behind, like what you how you should raise an adolescent.
Uh-huh.
Like maybe you just give them a whole bunch of porn.
Who?
Huh?
I mean,
the dad.
Kids.
It's like, listen, the next couple of years are going to be pretty terrible. here's a bunch of porn. Yeah.
I mean, that's the crazy thing about nowadays is that everybody has a lot of porn at all times.
Yeah,
that's true. Or there could be the ceremonial cutting of the parental content filter.
I kind of think that's a good idea.
To make it ceremonial?
Yeah.
If the thing is, like, your dad doesn't, like, know how to deal with you at this age, so you're saying is, like, one of the things that could make him do is, like, they have to have this ceremonial porn ribbon.
I think that's just one element of a number of ceremonies.
Uh-huh. So it's, like, they're...
There's, like, a learner's permit ceremony.
Uh-huh.
Where you have to watch it with your dad?
I think he's talking about driving.
Yeah,
now.
I'm talking about driving.
Okay. I thought I'd learn this for porn. I was like, that's a little weird.
These are all... There's many, many ceremonies all revolving around porn.
Yeah.
No. It's... I think that there's like...
Just more ceremonies.
Once you get into adolescence...
Yep.
There can be all sorts of like different ceremonies that you have to do with your dad.
Okay.
So, you know, kind of like we were talking a little bit in the religion episode about having our bet mitzvah. There could be just like other things that are like that that okay. are just sort of like...
Now I think I see what you're getting at. So it's like we have these like rites of passage.
Yeah.
And giving it sort of like a recognized structure where it's like, all right, you have to hit all these like landmarks. With your child.
With your dad.
Right, because you're going to see all your friends having hit those landmarks with their parents and be like, Dad, why haven't we done that?
So, like, part of being a dad, it's like, where you're like, oh, shit, I don't know what to do with these years. He's just so...
So angsty.
He's
and
so angsty, and, like, he's becoming an adult, but he's clearly not ready. And
smells
it's like,
bad.
You know, so
throws
it's like...
stuff everywhere.
Right, so it's like, instead of it just being this, like, kind of a mess for 3 years where you don't know what it's supposed to be, you've got all these, like, structured events that, like... Everyone in society is doing with their children during this age.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that could work. Because I think, like, the ones that we do have are good. Like you said, like, all right, so, like, you brought up, like, learner's permit. So that's, like, something that you do with your dad at that age. Or not necessarily your dad, but a parent is learning how to drive.
Yeah.
In my family, it was with my dad.
Yeah.
But, you know, but I think there's a lot of things like that where it's, like, I think part of the reason you're so shitty when you're that age is because you're starting to think, I don't need my parents, right? Like, you think that you're an adult and you can do everything on your own, but you can't yet.
Right.
And so maybe if there were just a few more, like, reminders of...
Things
like,
you can't do, but
like,
also...
Well, not just things you can't do, but it's like, oh, I still have, like, a lot to gain...
From this person.
From my dad. Like, if those were, like, structured, like, at intervals where it's like, all right now I'm going to learn how to drive... you know, next week he's going to, like, teach me how to do my taxes, you know, or, like, you know, the week after that, he's going to, you know, teach me how to, like...
build a fire.
Yeah. Yeah. Like sort of these, like, things that, like, a man needs to know how to do.
Yeah.
So it's like the Boy Scouts.
You know? Like, I think that would be good. And that's not just sort of, like, a thing of firsts, almost, like, sort of a thing, like, this is, like... I'm teaching you how to do stuff that you're going to do on your own.
Yeah.
Here's how to prep a meal.
I like the idea of... Yeah.
How to pick
the
right
avocado. I like the idea of this sort of like bar mitzvah kind of a thing because it's sort of like becoming a man or like becoming like an adult.
Yeah.
But having it be sort of like this sort of sequence of things that you need to actually be an adult.
Right.
And I think that adolescence is like the right time to do that.
Yeah.
Maybe it starts when you're like when you turn 11 and ends when you... turn 18.
Yeah, so I think that's right. I think it covers that whole span of years where you're like figuring out who you are and you're trying to get ready to be on your own.
Yeah.
And so like during those like 7 years, the path to your dad's job to like make sure that you're ready.
Yeah. You're gonna like sit down like this weekend and learn how to like fix a toilet.
Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot. There'd probably be a lot less gaps too. Like I think like my dad took efforts to teach me how to do like a lot of stuff. But there's still things as a grown man, I'm like, well, how do I not know how to do this? And my dad definitely knows how to do this.
What's
and
an
I
example?
Don't for some reason.
Yeah, give us some examples.
Oh, like just like stuff around the house. My dad was always like really handy, mm-hmm. and I'm not very. I don't know. I'm probably as handy as like the average dude, but like this, I think in general, men don't know how to do things that like 20 years ago, like every man would know how to do.
I don't know enough knots. My dad knows so many different knots.
I know a few, but
I know
a couple
basics.
Just
but
the hangman's noose.
I know that one. Yeah, my dad knows so many knots all the time, and he's just like, oh, yeah, just do like a trucker's knot up here and then a other thing down here, and I'll be like, a what?
Yeah, let me look it up.
Yeah.
Trucker's hitch.
Trucker's hitch, yeah.
It's a good one.
It is a good one. That's actually one of the ones I know how to do.
There are some life skills that it would be nice to have, like knots and basic like CPR, things like that actually would be really beneficial.
Krav Maga.
A what?
Krav Maga.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Self-defense.
Like, yeah. When you like pull out a guy's eyeball and then kick him in the balls.
Yeah. Son. Son. This is how you do this.
This is how you, if you're ever attacked.
Isn't that the one that they use in like the Israeli like special forces?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All dads know how to do that. They teach their children.
Well, if it was something that was passed down, if that was like a ritual, that would be great. Yeah. I would like to know Krav Maga.
I think this would be great. We'd have a lot more like, first of all, like teenagers would have a lot more sense of a direction because it would just be they'd be spending a lot more time with their parents.
They're all ready for special forces.
And yeah, that's the thing is like when they reach adulthood, they would be like much better prepared. Well, what about adulthood, guys? Does fatherhood stop once they're 18?
No, I think...
Do you get to just be like, whatever, I'm done.
once a dad, always a dad. So, surely you have even more wisdom once your children have reached the age of 18 that you need to impart.
I feel like at this point, like dads have like taught way more stuff now.
Yeah. They've done a lot.
They've done way more.
They've done a lot of work.
They've been like, woo. It's a lot.
Son, daughter, I taught you a lot. Now take care of me for the rest of my life. Thank you.
Yeah, I think when your kid turns 18, you get to retire.
Because the Social Security has gone bankrupt and it's the only option.
I don't know. Like I think people talk about this part less, like what your obligations are as a father towards your like adult children.
Well, I think then it needs to kind of flip a little bit, right, too.
Uh-huh.
Like now I think it's like kids have a little bit more. I mean, maybe not 18 is still pretty young, but
yeah.
As kids get older, they have more obligations to their parents.
Yeah.
You know, when you're a kid, you're just sort of like, you don't, like when you're a baby, you have like no obligations because you can't even like, right. You don't even know what it is
right.
To be alive.
You can cry and scream all day.
Yeah.
How I wish for those days.
then when you're like a kid, maybe you have some chores, but it's nominal.
Right.
But then... I don't know. It's sort of like the balance needs to shift a little bit. And maybe after a while, the kids need to start teaching their dad stuff.
Mm. I like that.
Because like...
Dad, you forgot how to live raising me.
Well, no. I mean, I think it's like if I've gone to like 4 years of school and learned everything about design, maybe I could teach my dad some design stuff.
Uh-huh. I see.
Or like you've taken up a new hobby, let's say it's axe throwing.
Yeah. I'm like, hey, Dad, let me show you how to axe throw.
Let me show you how to throw an axe, because like you always like wanted to learn, but you know.
But you know, you were busy taking care of me, so.
Yeah, and your dad didn't know.
Yeah.
So, like,
let's
go
axe
throwing. Yeah.
I see.
I think that's great.
The book of firsts, but sometimes the script
the
is
responsibility, the responsibility the responsibility shifts a little bit more fluidly back and forth. And so, and as you get older, like more and more responsibility is going to move to the child, which does feel true. That feels true to life. I think that is typically like I haven't had to do this yet, but I think like as your parents get older, like you do take on more and more responsibility towards them.
Yeah,
I like the idea of like this like whole like father son father daughter bonding, like in the Book of Firsts doesn't stop once you turn 18. That it's kind of like just like who's in charge of structuring that, you know, becomes a little
shifts,
more
yeah.
fluid. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
Well, I think that wraps us up for this week. We've got just dads on our minds. If you've got your dad on your mind, why don't you tell us about him on iTunes while you leave us a 5-star review on iTunes.
Or you could review your dad.
yeah. But please, we'd prefer it if you really like your dad so that we get a better rating.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't give us your dad's like 1-star review.
Yeah.
How about this? It's a 2-star scale. If you hate your dad, give him 4 stars.
Yeah.
If you love your dad, give him 5.
There we go.
There you go.
That's good. That works.
If you think that there are other ways to improve the fathers in your lives, go ahead and tweet us those ideas at That's Not Pod on Twitter, and we will be sure to at least read it. I'm not going to commit beyond reading all the tweets that we get. And this week, I think it is befitting to give a special thanks to Sam's dad for just being a fantastic guy.
I think we should thank all of our dads.
I don't want to thank Sam's dad.
I know, I threw that
I mean,
one
out there. That's nice of you, but yeah, I think we should thank all of our dads.
No, I want to thank J.C. Penney's for providing all of the ties that I've given my dad over all of these Father's Days.
Mm-hmm. Is your go-to spot J.C. Penney?
Or Burlington Coat Factory.
Yeah, I've gotten a few ties from there.
My dad doesn't wear ties. If I was going to buy him clothes, I would buy him a Hawaiian print shirt.
Well, you could do that at JCPenney's or Burlington Coat Factory.
Well, I happen to
proud
know my
sponsors
dad.
Of That Snot Pod. If you want to have 10% off of a anything, any purchase on at JCPenney.com, you just use the promo code SNOTBOYS.
Which,
let us know if that works.
Yeah, let us know if that works.
Well, actually,
if
step,
works,
two, step two of that is finding a promo code online that actually offers you 10% off and also using that.
Yeah, right. Right. You have to use them. You have to use both of the, yeah. the promo codes.
Snot Boys
same
first,
time.
And it will look like it's not working, but then use the promo code that you found online that does work and you get 10% off.
I'd like to thank my dad. I'm going to throw him in there along with the JCPenney stuff.
I'm going to thank my dad too.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank my dad for being an albino.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also want to thank Jared's dad for being an albino.
Yeah. Good job.
All right. You know, I think I'm going to call my dad today.
Yeah, we should all call our dads today.
On air. Okay.
Or on Father's Day. On Father's Day. Soon. Yeah. We should thank them on the phone.
Thanks, Dad.
Or on this podcast. Thanks, Dad.